You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Lawrence Arabia with Auckland CBD Part 2, and we have Lawrence Arabia on the line. Kia ora, James, how are you?
Kia ora, I'm good, thank you.
Good, good. It's a Monday morning, it's early, and we're chatting about a tour. How are you feeling?
Specifically about it being early or about the tour?
Well, I guess all three, the combination.
Well, I guess right now, yeah, it's being early, it's probably a little bit early to have really thought about the tour too much today. I'm mainly thinking about my screaming children. But now that that's clearing up, I'm pretty excited about the tour, yeah.
So it's in celebration of a song that hasn't come out yet. The song is The Developed World, and the tour is Lawrence Arabia Tours the Developed World. The song, you've said it's about the cognitive dissonance of living amid relative privilege in a world that seems to be going to hell, which is a big theme. Do you want to talk us through that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's, you know, it's pretty tiresome talking about the lockdown, etc., but it was the basically that, you know, whenever I was recording all of these mini albums and stuff during lockdown, I managed to write one song.
Yeah. Which, to be honest, is an accomplishment. It was a pretty stifling time.
Yeah, I mean, it was for me. So I'm happy to have got one good song out of it, in my humble opinion. It's a good song. But yeah, it was just, I was walking around. It was a beautiful day one morning. And I was just struck by I just felt very happy. You know, it's just sort of enjoy. I wasn't talking to anyone. I was just sort of wandering around, sort of, you know, sort of nodding and smiling at people and
whistling.
And it just felt so joyous. And I was sort of just, it kind of just became this meditation about that feeling and then how much dreadful stuff is going on in other parts of the world. And that's kind of the theme of the song, was just that kind of blissful ignorant joy you can have in a peaceful country.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And I think a lot of people will relate to that because it's, you know, especially during the lockdowns and even still, you know, it has been very stressful and that stress is very real, but then people can compare it to much greater suffering happening overseas or even within Aotearoa. And yeah, it's sort of, it's interesting putting your own stress into perspective.
Absolutely. And it's, yeah, it can be very handy at times. I mean, it's a, but yeah. Obviously, yeah. Everyone's stress becomes this very intense subjective experience that they can't control, no matter how much more frivolous it is to compared to other people's problems. But
yeah,
it sounds very heavy, but the song is in, like, and it's a shame that it was supposed to come out last Friday, but I it was just the whole, it was a stuff up. So we could have been talking about a song that we could play. But, and it would have been much more illustrative of what it's about. But basically, it's a very joyful song with these kind of sad, cynical lyrics. But it's probably like the happiest song I've ever recorded.
Wow. So. I think that's what people like about your music. It's definitely what I like about your music, is that you're saying these quite sarcastic or dark things, but it's such joyful music, and you catch yourself singing along, and then you're like, oh, wait, what? What is Lawrence Arabia talking about right now? It's interesting that you say this was the one song that you wrote during all the lockdown period. What sort of spurs you to write a song? Are you event-driven or feeling-driven or sort of like, oh, I should write a song right now-driven? What really is the factor that sets that in motion for you?
I mean, often it's just having free brain space. It tends to get filled with songs, but I just haven't had any free brain space with, you know, with having young kids and all this other stuff that's going on in my life. It tends to be walking around. You know, I used to, when I was a young bohemian in the 2000s, I couldn't drive then. So I used to walk around, you know, I'd have to go and see someone in Dominion Road or something. And I lived in Grey Lynn, so I'd walk an hour and a half or whatever, how long it took.
Getting your steps in.
Yeah, I got so many steps in when I was 23 years old, you know. Like I'd walk 2 or 3 hours a day sometimes. But I'd be writing songs. I had a Nokia 3210 or whatever it was.
Like gorgeous.
A classic brick. And I used to call my own number and leave answer phone messages with songs on.
That's awesome. What a songwriting process.
Yeah, but obviously I don't do that. It would be incredibly self-indulgent to be walking around 3 hours a day at the moment with kids and stuff. So but consequently I don't write as many songs. That's what I'm sure there's other reasons as well as that. Yeah.
Quality over quantity.
At this point, I'd like to think so, yeah.
So you're going on tour that kicks off this Friday in Tāmaki Makaurau at the Point Chev RSA. You're also going to some places that you had to miss out on the Chant Darling tour, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, the basis of it was that we, you know, had this kind of tour that kept getting postponed and then eventually got cancelled, and so the big impetus for this tour was kind of to just finish off what we started. And we did a live stream with Hugh Sunday instead of the Auckland show,
and that was a great live stream.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was great to do that, but it was sort of like at that point we were like, oh, we should do this tour because there was still a lot of energy in the band and everyone had had such a good time and put a lot of work into it. So we just booked it then. Basically it was like, oh, let's just do what we couldn't do because of COVID. And then it became I thought that I should release the song as well, because otherwise it would just be the Chant Darling tour all over again. And I was pretty sick of postponing a tour for an album that was 12 years old.
But what was it like revisiting that album, the like 12 and a half year anniversary of the album? Because music can be such a time capsule. Was it kind of weird for you or nice? What was that like?
Yeah, it was very reflective. I mean, it was a song, you know, it's a strong body of songs. So, we, you know, it was really enjoyable playing all the music. And we will play most of the songs on this tour as well. But yeah, it asked a lot of questions about, you know, what happened at the time, you know, like decisions I made, could have managed my career better, all these kind of like heavy questions. But then actually when it came to playing it, it was just really cathartic and fun.
Nice. Do you have a favorite song to perform live?
I mean, off that record, maybe The Crew of the Commodore, or some of them are quite hard. Look Like a Fool's a really challenging song. I mean, we always play it, but it's a song that feels like a little bit of a mammoth effort. And love singing when we really, like, if it's sounding good on stage, it's really enjoyable singing Dream Teacher, because those harmonies are really fun to pull off.
True. Well, thank you very much for having a chat on the show this morning, James. Your tour, as I said, it kicks off on Friday, but you're also going to Raglan, Lyttelton, Napier and Wellington. Well, I hope you have a fantastic time, and we're going to listen to the beautiful young crew now, partly because you did a fantastic episode of Trash Recital with Sports Team putting this song together. What was that like? It looks quite stressful. Fun, but stressful, having to create a song entirely from scratch.
Yeah, I mean, the trash that they've got is sort of, you know, it doesn't have much... it doesn't have much pitch, you know, it's just sort of kind of these really unsatisfying things that you sort of thwack and they don't really respond. So that was, I found that stressful. I was like, oh, I'm going to get some really good notes out of these things. And then it was just like a bit of plastic and it just went, duh.
Well, your songs are very music focused. They're gorgeous. So I imagine the flat plastic would have been hard to manipulate.
Yeah, but I did have a little bit of angst about that, but I got over that. It was really fun. I should mention with Sports Team, though, that they've, on my social media at the moment, we're releasing a series of documentaries that relating to this song, I suppose you'd call them teasers, it's a documentary about the building of my home studio, which is it's the social media campaign for this new song. So I've been working with Sports Team quite a bit recently.
Perfect. Well, I guess people can head over to your Facebook or Instagram to check those videos out.
Yeah, Instagram's the best place because I've been so busy with like rehearsals and stuff that I'm not very good at updating Facebook anymore. It's kind of dying on the vine a bit.
Well, Instagram is the place to go then.
Yeah. Instagram's the one that I'm managing to keep up with. Perfect. There'll be another video there today.
All right. Well, thanks very much, James. I look forward to seeing you on Friday at the RSA.
Can't wait.
Have a fantastic rest of your week.
Yeah, you too. Sorry.
Ka kite.
Ka kite. Beautiful, yeah.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.